Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Brandon Jacobs is not in the Raiders anymore. How do you think the Raiders would say, we're going to give you $60 million for you? I don't think that the Raiders would do that because they have guys. I'm not saying they're better than him, but they will not spend that type of money because he's not that cap core, in my opinion.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco in Odyssey Sports Station. Always live with the free Odyssey app, Twitch, and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the deal. Let's get out to the phone lines and open it up to you, the people. 888-957-9570. Word's hanging out in Oakland. What's up, Word?
Hey, fellas. What's up? Hope you're doing well. Well, another factor that isn't considered, aside from the fact that Brock isn't necessarily as good as those other quarterbacks who got their money, those other quarterbacks, their teams only paid maybe at the most one other dude. Joe Mixon, they haven't paid T. Higgins. They haven't paid, what's my man, Chase. They let Joe Mixon go to Houston so they could pay him. The Jaguars didn't have anybody else to pay. Goff got his money. They only had to pay Amon-Ra St. Brown. That was it. The Cowboys, Dak got money. It took them a minute before they finally decided to pay my man Lamb.
They didn't pay Micah Parsons.
The Niners paid Bosa. They paid Debo. They paid Ayuk. They gave Trent some money before the season. They gave McCaffrey some money. Like, they've had to pay five dudes max money or extensions. So that makes it even tougher. Never mind the fact that Brock, unfortunately, is not as good as Patrick Mahomes or Joe Burrow. Or, you know, those other guys, maybe Tua, you know, they're 1-1A. But they even let, you know, they paid Tyreek before they got Tua. But, again, that's only one other dude.
How would you do it? How would you handle, if you're the GM, are you going out to the market? What are you doing?
Me? I'm going to see if he'll accept. I'll try to explain all that to him and see if he'll take less than 50. Like, I don't mind Brock, but the rest of the squad is so deficient now. So it's like Brock at his best and the squad as it is right now, I'm not sure if they're as good. So that makes it tough for me. It would have been great if we had won it last year. Then all of this stuff wouldn't have necessarily been an issue and everybody may not have been trying to dig out the last of the money before they bail out or retire. Like, that seems like what everybody's doing now. They're like, man, our time was last year. Let's just get our money and be out. If I may, before you let me go, I've been wanting to get this quote to Lowe for years, and I can never catch him on the air. There's a video called Fullback Lorenzo Neal Juggernaut on YouTube, and there's a quote, aside from all the videos of him killing people, there's a quote of Lowe saying to his coach on the sideline, that little 51 can't handle me. He's a little boy. He's a little boy. He's 210 pounds. I'll kill that little dude. I'm the world's greatest. Let me go at him. Man, that's the greatest clip ever. I wish I would run that. That is a great clip.
You went back in the archives. Yeah, that's one of my moments that I'm unwired, and you're playing. You're in that moment, and it was Jonathan Vilman.
Who, 51?
Yeah, linebacker.
Oh, good linebacker back in the day.
But he's so little.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm like, let me go at him. I wanted to go nothing but lead because
– New England?
He was with the Jets.
Oh, that's right.
Jonathan Vilma.
Right. So yeah, Jonathan Vilma.
Yeah,
sure,
so it was – that, and I was on the sideline. I'm like, ask me, what do you want to do? And it's just like, you when you heat it, you playing, you're like, dude, let's run lead. Because I know he couldn't handle that bump. Couldn't handle that bump. So it's like, let's go at him. And it's crazy. That's pretty neat, though. The NFL films didn't know they recorded that and they caught that. It's pretty neat.
But Word has a really, really good point. And it sort of gets back to what it is that I'm saying, is that you have to take care of your own house. And my house is different than Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence. And my house is very different than that of Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. You guys didn't have to deal with Kittle, with Debo, with Christian McCaffrey, with Trent Williams. There's only so much money that can go around without us compromising what it is that we want to do, including you, Brock, and that is win a Super Bowl. And so when you want to do this uniformed across the board, it's the market, it's what the market is dictating. You got to pay the guy. He's next up. If I'm the 49ers, that you got to come stronger than that. It has to make sense in terms of what it is that we're doing, the way we're currently constituted and constructed as a football team to win that Super Bowl or get back to relevancy or get back to the playoffs. And so I'm sorry, but what it is that Trevor got paid and what it is that Jared got paid, there's no relevance here as far as where we're at in the 49ers and the players, because we are about as star-studded as any football team. Maybe Philadelphia is the only other team that I can look at and can say, yeah, the number of stars on each team is relatable. But the 49ers have had to pay a lot of guys, and they're going to have to pay another Andre Greenlaw. They just paid D'Amador Lenore. Don't forget it, McCaffrey and, of course, Trent Williams, as I mentioned, and Kittle, all these guys under new deals. And so at the end of the day, it's just a matter of, It's finances. It's being fiscally responsible. And I'll take that into account. Yeah, sure. Okay. Jared Goff's making $55 million or Trevor's making X amount of dollars. Certainly. Yeah, let's talk about that as we go back and forth. But it can't be the end all. You know, it can't be, well, this is what the market dictates. Write that blank check. I don't care what it means in terms of what it is that you have to do. It's the world I live in. Let's get this done and move on. I think it's a little bit more. You got to pull back the layers on this a little bit more if you're Lynch and the San Francisco 49ers.
And that's what I can't wait to see this offseason, because like you said, they're going to do, and if they decide to do it, we're going to sit there and say, hey, it's not our money, it's not our chicken. They decided to do it. I just think that when you look at this 49ers team as a whole and you think about where they're at and what they do this year, when you think, okay, how did this team fare? How good were they? And you got to look at it and say, it wasn't that good. And you have to be optimistic about it and say, so what are we going to have to do to make ourselves relevant again? That's overhaul this team in some ways. That's get a better offensive lineman. That's getting better defensive lineman. That's getting better in the trenches. We can't afford to pay a quarterback $55 million a year. And we'll see if it happens. I know people are saying that's what the market does, but I'm with you, Dan. You can't do it, because it's not responsible if you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
You can't scale these things.
No.
You can't say, well, this is what we're doing out in Miami, so this is what we're doing in San Francisco, so it's what you should do in Chicago and Detroit and right on down the line. It doesn't work that way.
Can I point something out to you both?
Yeah, go ahead.
The 49ers have shown over the years, they've really only said no to one person, and that was DeForest Buckner. They let Buckner walk. It turned into a 13th overall pick in the first round, who they drafted Javon Kinlaw with. That was a total failure for both for them.
Agreed.
Okay. After that, they have paid almost every single person that they have had to pay, and not only have they paid them, but they've paid them the dollar sign that they've exactly wanted. Brandon Ayuk held out; he got exactly what he wanted. He got $30 million. Nick Bosa is the highest defensive paid player in the NFL, about $6 million over that. They have been taken to the cleaners on multiple occasions.
So I guess you're making our point.
I'm just saying that they haven't said no to anybody. We could all agree here that they are very fond of Purdy, both Lynch and Shanahan.
Agree. But I think, again, it just depends. Jersey Ken brought up a good point because he said a lot of this is timing. If this is last year, Brock Purdy's getting paid, and you and I we ain't saying a damn thing. Because Brock Purdy's just coming off of that huge year, took you to the Super Bowl, give him the 55. He wants 60, and he's making an argument for 60. But this isn't last year. And so I think the point in all of this is it depends on where you're at as far as paying Brock Purdy, where the 49ers are at. And, again, I don't know that it's about leverage. Like, if you have Sam Darnold is so key in this. If you don't have the leverage, just like that of a year ago, if Brock Purdy, Brandon Ayuk got the money because Brandon Ayuk had the leverage. You need me more than I need you. Right now, with Sam Darnold and with Brock Purdy taking a step back, I asked you who has the leverage, and I'm not exactly sure. But if Sam Darnold is somebody that becomes the X factor in all this, I don't have to do what it is that Carter just said. Because you didn't have another Nick Bosa. Mm. There's not another Christian McCaffrey. There's only one Trent Williams. He might be the best left tackle to ever do it. And Fred Warner, who was up before all of those guys, he's one of one.
Mm-hmm.
In any facet of business, it comes down to who has the hammer and who has the leverage. And why I think that this gets back to Sam Darnold. And again, without Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy is probably going to get his, and he may get his even with Sam Darnold. But a lot of this is timing, and it's, do I have any other options? And if not, then I'll bend over and give you the $55 or $60 million.
And with that being said, you had a Brandon Ayuk that probably had options, the Steelers and some of the teams. But then once the Niners start playing the games with him and got in the mud, you just ruined it. I just think this organization needs to be more transparent and be like, look, I can't be you guys' friend. Look, we love you. We love what you did as a player. We're going to respect you, but you got to draw a line in the dirt because players are going to say, look, I don't want this contract. I'm going to leave. I'm taking my talent elsewhere. Both sides have to be able to draw their line in the dirt, and the Niners can't go back and forth like they did with Brandon. All this back and forth, you scrub your Twitter, do that stuff, and you caved. You can't cave. You got to say, this is the number. And if it's $50 million, if it's $60 million, whatever the number is, the Niners got to stick with that number and say, we're not going to overpay. No matter who it is, not just Brock, but anyone.
I always get back to, come on, man. What are you going to do with all that money in Iowa? Can we just get on the real here? It's Iowa.
Right. He'll find a way for it.
You get an unlimited supply of Levi jeans and a John Deere at your driveway every other month. We good? All right. Let's go play some football. All right. We're sponsored by the all-new Honda of Vallejo. We continue. Do you want to get into a little basketball?
Get some hoop.
You sure?
We need some hoop,
sure?
Baby. Let's go. Let's talk Clippers. Let's talk the Clip Show and Warriors, baby.
That's next, according to Low, 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to
Dillard and Libs
on 95.7 The Game.
All right, get into a little Warriors talk. Golden State, unfortunately, have lost 11 of their last 14. Take on the Los Angeles Clippers. Coming up tonight, of course, you can catch all the action here on 95.7 The Game. And guess who's doing the pregame show? Warriors Live.
You, my friend.
And you.
What?
Me? You're not going anywhere.
What?
This is a team, man.
There's no I in team, baby. Yeah, it's all you. You're the I.
Because Ev, who usually does this and does such a fine job at it, Ev is what is he, about four drinks deep now?
Oh, he's got at least four. I'm gonna take the over. Take the over.
And we're here for him because we take care of our boy that way. When you're a young man and you're single, do you? It's Friday night.
Exactly.
Now, Ev, in all seriousness, has family in town, and I believe they came in from San Diego, so he's having dinner with pops and the fam And so, people. God bless. Yeah, we got you covered. So we'll be doing Warriors Live coming up tonight at 6 o'clock, and then we hand it off to Tim Roy, who will give you the pregame show, and then we tip things off at 7 o'clock with the Warriors taking on the Los Angeles Clippers.
It's gonna be tough with all the Dorn injuries. The Warriors, GPs, you know, Peyton's not playing. Of course, Steph. It's gonna be an interesting game. Interesting game.
Yeah. So they haven't beat the Clippers this year. They're gonna do it without Steph Curry. Steph Curry is out, and Draymond Green is listed as questionable. One thing I wanted to get into, and we can get back to the 49ers. We can get back to whatever it is that people want to talk about concerning whether it's the contract extension. For one, Brock Purdy and what that number might be. One thing that I found fascinating about talking to Steve Kerr is, and you can relate this maybe to football, Jonathan Kuminga, who continues to be the X factor in a lot of these conversations. And we always talk about how young he is. He's been in the league as a teenager, came in at age 19. He's been in the league now 4 years. That we all know you have to be patient. But Kerr reminded us last night that guys like Kuminga and guys that want to take the quick route or come through the G League or are teenagers in the league, while we salivate at what they potentially can do offensively because of their size and their speed and the ability to dunk and just all of these things that are so exciting, that they still have not learned because no one has taught them the nuances of the game, how to rotate defensively, how to speak on defense, communicate with one another. I think that Steve Kerr didn't want to admit it, but it was Jonathan Kuminga that should have helped defensively on that baseline, because Andrew Wiggins, according to Steve Kerr, did the right thing. Forced Austin Reeves' baseline, thinking he was going to get help. Jonathan Kuminga wasn't there to help.
Right.
Bucket, ball game.
Right.
I also think that Steve Kerr also is culpable for not having Trayce Jackson-Davis in the game, because I think Trayce Jackson-Davis instinctively knows to be there to shut off that baseline and to challenge the shot of Austin Reeves. That's the way he plays. But Trayce Jackson-Davis was in college for 4 years, and he played under Rod Woodson, who was an NBA coach and an NBA basketball player. He's well-schooled. He's minored in basketball.
Right.
He knows the game. Jonathan Kuminga, and guys like Jonathan Kuminga, as Steve Kerr, you know, pointed out to us last night, there's still the coaches, the NBA coaches like that of Steve Kerr, have to pick up the slack and teach these guys that they should have learned in their first year or two at the college level.
Right.
And so he's learning on the job. And it's a reminder to all of us that, yeah, we need to be patient because he's 22 and his offensive game will come around. But it's the other stuff that really is going to test people's, you know, patience when it comes to Jonathan Kuminga, because he just doesn't know any better. And I think, to Steve Kerr's point, he's not going to chew him out, because it's not on the kid. It's just he's never been taught that this is how we play winning basketball. It's not always about a three, a dunk, a crossover, all the amazing stuff you can do. It's the other little things that, for whatever reason, you were not in class for.
Right. I think Kerr was just alluding to as well, when you know, you see Wiggs, you know, forcing to the baseline, he takes the baseline freely. If you have a big that's facing him, he doesn't take that baseline, because now he doesn't go into the, weeds. He knew that there was a free angle. He knew that the big wasn't peeking back, saying, okay, you're popping in and out of the lane, saying, okay, I know this guy's going to collapse. He said, he's taking it, I'm going to take it. And that's why he went right to the hole, because he knew, wasn't that he knew it could beat necessarily Wiggs, but he knew that he wasn't going to get that help, because Wiggs were anticipating that he was going to help. And you know, that's where it looks bad for Wiggins. It's like, man, what's wrong with Wiggs? He got caught slow-footed. Man, why was he doing it, playing too close? Why? Because he understood what team concept is. And when you're talking about Kerr, when he alluded to, hey, look, these young guys don't get it. And that's what I'm talking about. Do you love it? And we talked about a guy, and people were hitting the text line saying, God, we want to make this trade, you know, for Zion. And you said, man, Zion, when he's well, he's hell. When he's hurt, he's dirt. And it's like, we understand that's just how, because Zion, when he's in the game, you see how aggressive and how hard he can blow out his shoes. But does he really love it, or does he love what basketball does? Because you got a lot of guys that you get them on the court, it takes over. I love basketball. But are you willing to pay the price? And see, you got Kuminga, and I understand he's 22, he's young. I get that. But the offseason, you've been now 2-3 years off seasons. Are you putting in the time and saying, I'm going to learn this? Are you watching tape not once a week in the offseason, not twice a week, not three times a week, at least four to five times a week to say, okay, I'm watching defense. Are you watching your cut-ups, how the defense flow, how you cut that, how do you do those things? How do you, when a cutter's coming, what's my best angle? See, when you are invested into your sport, and not just love, because a lot of guys play in the National Football League, they love what football can do for them. They love what football can do. But what do you love? What do you love to protect your job? I tell people all the time, I go into a school and I go and talk, and I go talk to businesses, and I say, see this football? Body rest and stay at rest. Body motion, stay at rest. If I put this football on top of a desk and on top of this table, and we leave out of this room, and we come back next year, the year after, and no one comes in this room, no one touches this room, no one comes in this room, that football will be in the same place on that table where everyone left it. It may be deflated, but it'll be in the same place. What are you doing to protect your football? What are you doing to protect your basketball? And that's the thing. Yeah, you got the flash, the buzz and the sizzles there, but what is he doing? And that's the bind. And that's where Kerr and the coaching staff has to say, look, we can take you so far, young man. Practice, we only get a 45 to 2 hours. We got limited because of CBA and all the different things we do. We got limited time, but we can't make you love this. You got to go protect this. If you don't, why do you think everyone's asking you to be traded? Why is everyone saying, go ahead and turn the page? The commitment's not there, bro. And I understand what you're saying. I understand he's young. I understand he's grown, but you're 22. When is that clock going to say, I got to be invested in my game? Athletic ability get me so far, but now the commitment to learning my craft is going to keep me there.
Amen to that. Tim's out in North Carolina, wants to talk about Jonathan Kuminga. Tim, where in North Carolina are you?
Yeah, I'm in Raleigh, man. This is absolutely fascinating. Like, where was this at when he has won games in the past? Where was this at in Houston when he won that one in overtime with Pods? And 3 weeks ago when he hit the dagger shot? Or a year ago when he came off of the bench in Portland and you won that one? This is fascinating. So this is what I want to say, guys. I commend this young fella for coming from Africa at the age of 14, learning a different language, doing all that he had, seeing the things that he has seen in the Congo, for God's sake. And then he comes over here, right? I got nothing but love for this young man. And listening to that interview yesterday, listening to you basically begging for the coach to blame him, begging for putting him against Pods in front of a coach, and begging for him to speak highly of one and talk disparagingly about another. It was fascinating, man. So this is, yes, what you just said, I want him to be traded. I want to see this young man play for somebody who wants him. You damn right I want to see it. Talking about mental toughness. Let's talk about mental toughness with all of the things you just said. 4 weeks ago, you win a game. 3 weeks ago, you win a game. A week later, you're told it's all about you, man. We going in on you. Just for 1 week later for you to be pulled back. And we're not going to do that at 22 years old. And for this kid to not be a head case, to not be a mental case, in a lab somewhere with a straitjacket on, is by far. I mean, and Lorenzo, you played sports. You know what it is for a coach to empower you, to believe in you, and to give you consistency. Something this kid has not had his entire career. But I love how we talk about IQ, right? I love those two letters. A year ago when Klay Thompson fouled somebody for no damn reason at all and we lost the game, nobody talked about it. However, we got the best players on this team who make the dumbest mistakes we've ever seen in crunch time. Well, going back 8 years ago when our best player threw a behind-the-back no-look pass in the finals, to 2 weeks ago when he took a shot with 12 seconds left when he knows he should have taken it down to 3. But the 22-year-old, when he makes that mistake, He's not committed. Are you not looking at tape? That's what we do to him, so you're damn right I want him out of here. I want to see him play for somebody who wants him. Because what you guys are doing right now on this platform and the agenda because you want him to be traded, and the things you said and did in that interview yesterday to try and get this man to give us contact, it's absolutely amazing. Absolutely fascinating. And but, yeah, that's what we do to him. We question his love and heart for the game. When, like he said in that interview, a lot of people in his position right now would be mental cases and couldn't even come close to dealing with all of this nonsense. But that's okay. Let's compare him and Podge. Let's talk to the coach and say all the good stuff Podge does, but we can deal with it. But Kuminga, we can't. But we don't remember that energy 3 weeks ago.
Hell yeah, Tim.
I like the call.
And good stuff.
And like I said yesterday, I'll say it again today. I said when you look at a young guy and we talk about how the weak and those different things, not to saying this guy's not trying. I'm saying I know what it takes. When he's talking about being a pro, it's about, look, I said this guy, we all know how talented he is. And that's why yesterday Kerr's not going to throw this guy under the bus. Yeah, you were wanting people wanting to know answers because fans want to know what happened, who posed the collapse, who's supposed to make that block. I get that what the fans want to know. But Kerr wouldn't go there. I understand there's a code of ethics when it comes to being an athlete, and you can't put a coach on the spot. And Steve Kerr would not throw Kuminga under the bus. He did not do it. I'm saying when you look at NBA and you look at basketball, look at football, any sport, you have to have the commitment. Because athletically, this kid has athletically. But when I'm saying, hey, look, work on the other part, that means, hey, look, you do the extra thing. That means the coaches, hey, you sit and you have extra meetings. I'm saying if you have 3 years and you're saying, look, I'm going to watch the extra tape, not once, not twice, but four or five times a week in the offseason just to get better because you do have a barrier. You do haven't been playing this game. And Steve Kerr alluded to, and that's what you were saying. It wasn't you were badgering. You said, hey, it made you. You said, I had to step back. And I listened to Kerr when he said, and here's an 18-year-old kid that usually Draymond and Clay and Steph, they got that because they got the basic fundamentals in college. You're saying, Kerr said, alluded to you saying, these guys stipped those processes. So as a coach, we have to teach them the things that they would have learned in college. So when you're in that situation as a coach, yes, you got to teach them. But then you got to say, look, I can only teach you so much. I only have 45 minutes with you at practice. That's when the extra comes in where you got to take the tape home and look at it. And not once a day, not freaking in the off season. You say, hey, look, I have to put in the time for my craft. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it when you are set behind and you're behind the eight ball. You got to do extra, especially if you have the athletic ability and people are depending on you. I'm not saying that you can put yourself in a position to put the time in to learn more. And that's all I'm saying, that this young man, sometimes you have to do the extra because you are behind the eight ball.
Yeah, and to the caller from Raleigh, to his point, and it was a good call. Anybody who's that impassioned, man, you move to the front of the line. We want to hear from you. But as far as our interview, my questions to Steve Kerr is, first of all, I have to ask Kerr that question. Because with 6.3 seconds to go, there has to be answers that are provided. Now, he danced around mentioning Jonathan Kuminga's name, but I'm sorry, from where I sit, that question has to be addressed to the head coach. And again, he did a very good job by being evasive, but I hope you understand what it is that I'm responsible in terms of my obligation to the fan base, and that is Jonathan Kuminga made a mistake. Now, you can interpret that any way you want, and you can go there thinking that I'm favoring Podziemski over Kuminga, or that Kuminga, and you have a good point as far as what it is that Steve Kerr has been doing as far as yo-yoing him back and forth in the starting lineup, out of the starting lineup. That's on Steve Kerr. Now, I'm not going to push back on that at all. But as far as what it is that I asked Steve Kerr, that came from a place of objectivity where the Warriors lost a game on a play with 6 seconds to go with the game tied in front of the world on Christmas Day, and it was a baseline layup. Boom, that's all she wrote. Lakers win. I'm sorry. There has to be questions asked as to why that happened. And the reason why it happened is that there was no help defensively. And who was supposed to help? Well, it was Jonathan Kuminga. And again, you could be a Jonathan Kuminga fan. It has nothing to do with what took place last night. That's on Jonathan Kuminga. You can isolate it to just that one play that he screwed up, but he's been a very good basketball player. That's fine. But in a vacuum, what took place in the final 6.3 seconds of that basketball game, just that one particular play, I think it was on Jonathan Kuminga to come over and seal that baseline, and he didn't do it. And you can talk about the fact that he doesn't know the nuances because he didn't go to college. Whatever the reason is, we have to lay it out for everybody as to why the Warriors lost the game. And unfortunately, when it comes to sports talk radio, it's the nature of this beast, man. We're going to point fingers, and we got to find a culprit in this. Usually somebody's right and somebody's wrong. It's not an indictment on the guy's career. It's not an indictment in that he's going to be a good or a bad basketball player, but on Christmas night, he made a mistake that cost the Warriors.
Now, and how much do you, and when you say he made a mistake, which he did, and do you say, and that's why you said you rather seen another player be in there at that particular time because of basketball IQ, they've been playing basketball longer, and instinctively they just would have did it. But Kerr chose to go put him in that position. So you can say either you got to look at Jonathan Kuminga and say, okay, it's on him, or you can say, does Kerr, does he have a timeout to go ahead and say, I'm switching the defense, I'm going to put a better suited defensive player in there that understands that you collapse on the baseline?
Let's get out to Priest. Wants to talk about Kuminga. Priest, where you been, man? I'm sure he's going to go after me. What's up, Priest?
Yes, indeed. Hey, what's going on, man?
No, I know you're going to clap hard at me. Come on.
Yeah, I'm just like the caller before me. You cats take everything this kid does wrong and put it into a narrative that he doesn't work hard.
No, I didn't say that.
He doesn't put in the work. No, I'm talking about your man there, Lowe. He's running his mouth about the man is alluding to the fact that alluding to the idea that this kid is lazy. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Stop with that stupid nonsense.
Wait, hey, hold on. I didn't say necessarily lazy. I'm saying, listen, you can have all the athletic ability in the world, and you can have all of, you can say, oh, hey, I want to lift 400 pounds. And you can go and put 400 pounds, put your butt underneath the 400 pounds and see what it won't crush your chest. If you don't work, it won't happen. I'm not saying the guy's lazy. I'm saying, look, he can be at practice and be learning everything. But when you are when you're behind the eight ball, what are you doing extra? And I'm just saying, are you watching it one, two, three times? You can't. It needs to be four or five times in the offseason. All I'm saying, if he's doing it, then that's on me. If I'm saying that if this guy's doing it, if you know that this guy in the offseason for 3 years, he's been in the league now for 3 years, if you know that this guy's going and watching the tape every single day in the offseason because you know he doesn't know basketball, he came from another country, I get that, and he's been put in a position to success, and he's had big shots, won games, I get that. But if you're deficient in somewhere, you try to overcome. So I'm saying if you think he's doing it, if you guys, if Kerr's saying he's doing it, then he's doing it, then that's on me. But if it's not, then that means you have to put in more time. I don't care how hard you work in practice. If you're not watching tape and doing the extra things to make your, to sharpen your skills, then that's got to be on you. That's all I'm saying. If you're deficient somewhere, you have to try to put in the time. That's the only thing I'm saying.
If this and that and the other, man, you don't know, I don't know. So when we make allusions to a guy's work ethic and his personality and stuff like that, then we don't know.
Fair enough.
You don't know that man from Adam. Have you ever talked to him?
Fair enough.
Ever. Okay, so why would we do that? Why would we do that to this kid only? Only him. When everybody else is making the same kind of mistakes on the defensive rotations, they're doing the same thing. But we're going to bring up Jonathan Kuminga. Now, I'll say this about Kerr. Kerr should have had the Davis kid in on that play. He's playing Kuminga at the four, man. Kuminga is not a four. He's a three. But he's asking him to do something just like he does with Draymond. Draymond's got the IQ. He did 5 years in college under a great coach. This kid didn't have that luxury, okay? So Draymond understands the rotations before they ever happen. TJD may have that. Kerr made a call, and this kid didn't react. And he knows he'll learn from that. But to say he's not going to put in the time, man, I think you foul for that. And that's what I'm saying. We need to lay off this kid because we don't do that to nobody else on this team. And they do this, they make these mistakes. Steph Curry throw the ball all out of bounds, do all kind of crazy stuff. I know he's the superstar. I know he deserves the accolades and all that stuff. But he makes as many mistakes. So does Draymond. He threw a ball in the backcourt.
Thanks, Priest. And Priest brings up a good point, the Trayce Jackson-Davis not being in there. And I've talked about this, that I think that's on Steve Kerr. Because I think Steve Kerr recognized when Anthony Davis was out of the game, he wanted to go small. Trayce Jackson-Davis is playing well. I don't care whether Anthony Davis is in the game or not. Put him in. Put him in. The idea, like, that's over-managing or over-coaching. Anthony Davis is out. Oh, it's my opportunity to go small and take advantage. So Trayce Jackson-Davis, you're not a small guy. I'm going to replace you with whomever. Trayce Jackson-Davis should have been closing that basketball game. We got time for one more. Actually, we'll try and squeeze you guys in.
This is fine.
Hang out through the break. We want to hear from you. Leo's up next in San Francisco, and he wants to talk about, I guess, the last play was 6.3 seconds to go. It's not a good indicator of who won or lost the game for the Warriors. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, gentlemen? It's amazing how we pick out a single play, and I realize it happened at the end of the game, but that single play, first of all, wasn't a baseline drive. It was a straight line drive from the top of the key, and the reason why Reeves got a step on Wiggins was because Wiggins was overplaying him to his right hand, and he made that straight line drive to the basket, the easy layup. Kuminga was trying to box out somebody who ran out of bounds. He was trying to face guard him, trying to get in position to make sure that he could box him out on a shot. Wiggins has as much blame for that play as anybody else, especially since he's a veteran. And people have said this, but I'll reiterate. You know, during the game, Draymond throwing the ball over at people's head. Anybody talking about that? But we picked that one play at the end of the game. Making a run with the young guys with Steph and Draymond on the bench, created three turnovers while they're on the bench. Defense, they seem to pull the momentum. We're moving. And then during a free throw, Kerr decides to put Draymond and step back in, kills the momentum, and Lakers go on a 7-0 run. We don't talk about that.
Good call, Leo. Leo, I maybe we saw different games. Austin Reeves did not start off the top. He was out on the angle and then came baseline. And Jonathan Kuminga was not only at the baseline, he was actually outside of the baseline. He was out of bounds. And the positioning he had on Hachimura just looked confusing. And again, you're right. Basketball games are not necessarily won or lost on one play. But I do, again, feel as though if we're going to have Steve Kerr on a show the day after what happened, we have to ask him about that last play with 6.3 seconds to go. All right. Do we have enough time to get in Mike from Oakland? No. All right. Hey, Mike, as well as Marvin, the rest of you, hang in there. 888-957-9570. We're going to continue with the Warrior talk as the Warriors get ready for the Clippers coming up tonight. It'll be Lowe and I. They're going to have Warriors Live, the pregame show, and then hand things over to Tim Roy. But we're going to take more of your calls and get back to Warriors talk. Jonathan Kuminga, whatever it is you want to kick around next here on 95.7 The Game.
To Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Talking about the Golden State Warriors. By the way, Draymond Green also has been downgraded to out for tonight's game against the Los Angeles Clippers. The Warriors have lost 11 of 14. Steph Curry will not be available. And Draymond Green, not available as well, as they take on a Clipper team led by Norm Powell and his 24 points a game. Guy coming out of nowhere. The Warriors have yet to defeat Los Angeles, and we'll have much more. We break it down for you with a pregame show on Warriors Live. Lorenzo Neal's going to go. He's going to go inside Warrior basketball and give you nuggets that you've never, ever heard of before. All right, back out to the phone lines. Let's continue to talk about whether it's Jonathan Kuminga, whether it's wherever you want to go. Mike in Oakland, where are you taking us?
I just heard you say Draymond Green not playing. Every time Steph don't play, Draymond Green weasels his way out of the game. Okay, I'm just sorry, man. I threw that in there. But what I really want to say is I want to bench Buddy Hield. I want to bench the new guy we just got, and I want to bench Brandon Brzezinski. And in place of them, I want to put Spencer, Waters, and Moody. I don't even want to see those three play tonight. I just want them to sit down and watch. And my other two guys I would have for the second string would be Trace Jackson Davis and Looney. So I got protection inside. If they get by me, I got two guys who can help. That way they can play the three much better. I just think Kurt needs to get more creative about how he's doing things. He's not playing the right guys at the right time, and that is exactly why we're losing all the time. He has to get his stuff together, man. That's my opinion. Jonathan Kuminga, I would not pay him. That's my personal opinion. Jonathan Kuminga would not get paid, period. Sorry. Thank you.
Job, Mike. I think when it comes to Coach Kerr, and I get it, some of these rotations, you know, fans have their favorites. I like Lindy Waters. Lindy Waters is now out of the rotation. A lot of people like Slo-Mo, Kyle Anderson. People are big on Moody. Moody didn't play the other night. I think that, you know, you can point a finger at Kerr, but at the end of the day, Kerr only has so much with which to work. Mm. It has more to do with the construction of the team. And, yeah, we can nitpick about rotations, and maybe this guy would have been better in this situation, but at the end of the day, if you have inferior talent, you're going to get exposed. I mean, you can only fool people for so long. Mm. At the end of the day, it just comes down to, do you have guys who can ball? Do you have guys who can lock you up defensively? Do you have better players? I mean, that's what this league has always been about. It's the reason why, you know, it's not as in vogue any longer, because now you have these second aprons, but it's the reason why you would see LeBron James call up his buddy Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and say, let's play together and win championships. Well, why back in the day with the Boston Celtics, you know, got their big three with Garnett and Allen and company and Paul Pierce and the Warriors. They took it a step further. They said, the hell with three, let's go get four. Right. And arguably the greatest starting lineup in the history of the NBA. It's either them or the Chicago Bulls. And the point in all of this is that the NBA has always been about who's got more talent.
Right.
And so you can disguise things to a certain degree and get creative with rotations and 12 or 13 guys. But the one thing we said, even after their 12-3 start, is that, is this sustainable? Can you do this? Can you disguise this and continue to win through the course of 82 games and all the way to the summer? And I think we're getting our answer.
Yeah, and I think with any sport, when you start losing, people want to know why. And it's like, why? And, you know, people say, God, it's unfair. You put the young fella in a position to fail, you know, Kuminga. But if you're the organization, you drafted this guy and said, hey, he's got potential. He's got upside. So you're saying, we're going to go all in because this guy can help us win. Either you got to develop certain guys to make sure they can catch up to speed, make sure that you put them in a position to be successful. And you have to stay committed to it. But if not, then you got to say, look, I'm willing to let this asset go. I got to get something that's going to help my team get over the hump. And right now, it's not one guy. I think that people are saying, hey, we're going to blame Kuminga. We're going to blame Dre. We're going to blame Steph. It's not one guy that you can blame for the lack of success. You can't just say it's Steve Kerr. People don't like Steve Kerr, some of his rotations. And understanding why, you can see why. They're like, hey, look, you need to go, you know, you need to switch. You need to play different guys at different times. He's doing it at the wrong time. It worked at certain times, but now you're saying, is this sustainable? Steve Kerr, to his defense, you have to realize he's won as a player. He's won as a coach. But he's won because he's had the talent. So it's all of a sudden now he can't coach. Now he doesn't know the rotation. Now all of a sudden he doesn't know. He just looks at it as, I have to do certain rotations because these guys, these horses,
they can't play, and it's not sustainable by letting these guys just play. If I don't have a rotation, this is not going to last. So I think that's one of the reasons, good, bad, or indifferent, that he's going with the rotation.
Let's get out to the guys. Phone lines at 888-957-9570. I want to hear from Marvin, hanging out in San Francisco. What's up, Marv?
How you doing, guys? I'm really kind of bewildered about the whole argument over Kuminga. It's really simple. He doesn't play a style of basketball that Kerr appreciates. Kerr likes guys that are action-oriented, pass ball first, run around, do a lot of stuff like that. And they got Kuminga completely playing differently. I mean, he's the kind of guy that if you put him in motion, he's almost impossible to stop, but he never gets the ball when he's in motion. He always gets the ball and they expect him to break somebody down with a dribble. But that's not what he does. Now, last night, they're blaming him for a defensive play, but Kerr should have had, with 6 seconds to go, his best five defensive guys on the court. Who did he have? He had Curry and Schroeder on the court. So, I mean, where was GP2? Where was Kyle Anderson, who was the defensive specialist, for those 6 seconds? So I think that Kerr, we made a mistake, literally, and I know the guy got fired today, but I think Mike Brown should have taken over after they won, and he would have been much better with younger players. Kerr needs a certain veteran guys who know what to do, don't make mistakes, and all this kind of stuff, and he had a bunch of young guys who were going to go against that. So he's kind of stuck in the middle with a roster that he would rather have a different kind of roster. Go back to the teams that won. Everybody says we need Jimmy Butler, but last time our number two scorer was Wiggins. We already got him. So it's crazy. I just think that everybody's looking for excuses. Are we the team that went 12-3, or are we the team that went 3-12? Okay, we can be either team, but it's going to take a coach that inspires them and gets them ready for games. Now, tonight we desperately need a win. Look what Kerr's doing. He's resting Curry and Draymond. Boy, that's a great way to go, you know, for a win. We might win because the Clippers might, you know, have one of those nights where they're going to take it easy because Curry isn't playing. But I'm just saying, Kerr has been making – he's a bad tactician in the game, and he's been making mistakes through this whole streak. So
question for you.
Hard schedule.
Question for you. Do you think he's not necessarily a leader, but do you think he's a good coach of developing young talent? When you look at Kerr – you're saying, so you agree that if he has superstars, he can win. If he doesn't have the horses, you don't think that he can develop young talent? Is that what you're saying?
I think he's proven he can't develop young talent because he expects youngsters to do what aging veterans normally do. Look at the team he had that he won with. He had Otto Porter, and he had just a bunch of veterans who actually played like veterans. Now he's had to develop. When they were in Japan and they had Wiseman, and Wiseman was just dominating in Japan in the preseason. He comes back here and Wiseman doesn't get a minute to play. And I'm going, what did he see in Japan except the other team desperate to stop him? Transition, crossover dribbles, long, you know, he hit threes, and Kerr sits him right after that. That's what told me we were going to have a hard time. Look at this. Moody never plays. They paid him $30 million. So what the heck is going on there? I don't understand it, but you know, I just think that they can play either the 12-3 team or the 3-12 team. Right now, they're overdue for a hot streak of shooting. So if anybody had said at the beginning of the season they were going to be one game over 500 at this point, I think most people would have said, okay, we'll take that. We got off to a super hot start, and that changed the expectations. Anyway, thanks for letting me talk this much.
No, you're good, Marv. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Hey, I'm getting some breaking news here. And I had no idea this, but apparently, is it your birthday? Your birthday?
Happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah.
Happy, come on.
Birthday to you.
Carter, get on, Mike.
Happy birthday, dear Lorenzo. Happy birthday to you.
You guys sound like better than drunken sailors.
That was pretty bad. Happy birthday, bro.
Oh, thanks, guy. Appreciate it.
Man. No worries. What are you doing for the big day besides doing Warriors Live?
You talked me into staying with you. I don't know. After those guys are coming down our throat, I'm like, man, do we want to do any more Warriors? Are we going to bring Kerr back on? Man, let's get Kerr.
How do you feel now, Priest?
Exactly,
Flo's Priest. Flo's birthday.
Oh, Priest, I love you, man.
Went right at him.
You know what? Teach his own. And I think that you just look at guys and – and it's interesting just looking at the fan base and different perspectives. Some's on this side, some's on the other. And that's how it is. And you wonder because when you're asked to say, what do you think? I've just been around enough athletes to understand. I've seen guys that can walk on the field and just tear it up in any sport. And then you're watching, you're like, man, but you'll see some mistakes. And you're like, athletically, they can play with anyone. And then when you say, okay, but the small things of the game, you're like, what happened to that dude? God, why did that? And you find out, you start peeling it back and you start asking questions about, hey, what are you doing in this play? What are you doing? And you find out that they don't know. And it's not that they don't try. It's not that you don't have effort. And sometimes it's not that, and people say, oh, that person could be in the weight room. They can be lifting. They can be friggin' working out 5, 6, 7 hours a day. But it's a craft part of it too. And that's what people don't understand. It's the little things. It's the small things, the fine details that make you better. And that's some of the things that you wonder. Hey, look, he's right. Priest knows guys, but I don't know if Jonathan is watching tape. He could be watching, but I know when you're deficient in something, whatever it is, are you putting in the work? Because you can be a hell of an offensive player, but sometimes it gives this guy a two-way player. And until you put in the time, especially if you come and you didn't have 4 years of college, you're behind the eight ball. It's not the offensively. It's never usually that part of it. It's the other part. It's the defense. It's those other tangibles, because that's learning the nuances of basketball. So those are the things that sometimes a player has to do, especially a young player when he's so athletic, is put in the time on both sides of the court.
Back out to the phone lines. Just give me Joe's in Fremont, California. What's up, Joe? How are you?
Hey, how y'all doing? Happy birthday, Lo.
Thanks, dog. Appreciate it.
You know, I called in to talk about Steve Kerr. I'm with the gentleman before. I believe it's just the rotation that he's given us. He's given us too much pods. He's way invested in pods. I don't know why. If you look in that third quarter to the fourth quarter, pods was in there. Curry was in. Took him out, put him back in, took him out. Pods was still in there. I'm going to sit back waiting, like, when he going to put Hill in? When he going to put Moody in? When he going to put a slow-mo in? Man, he's invested, but I'm trying to figure out why. So I believe Steve Kerr don't want them. He wants a veteran. So what he wants to do is he wants to show them that this lineup is not working with all this 13-man, 12-man deal. And he wants them to go out and trade for him a veteran. He's doing it on purpose, y'all. You can see it. There's no way you can put Pods into that long where Pods don't have no game. I'm serious. I'm sorry, y'all. Wow. He's too small on defense. You can't keep Pods, Curry, and...